Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration will come to order. A quorum is present. Representative Jordan, have you had a chance to review the minutes?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I have reviewed the minutes from March 6th, and I would move their approval.
Representative Jordan moves the minutes from March 6, 2025. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The minutes are approved. Next order of business is the calendar for the day for March 12, 2025. We're proposing calendaring five bills for Wednesday, March 12, 2025. House File 6 from Bennett, House File 28 from Meckland, House File 500 from Zalesnikar, House File 1233 from Zalesnikar, and House File 1362, Representative Heintzman. I move the adoption of the calendar for the day pursuant to Rule 1.21, the Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration will designate Wednesday, March 12th for the adoption of the calendar for the day. Any discussion? Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question related to House File 6. This is a bill that we heard in Education Policy, and it was referred to Education Finance, where it was given a hearing, but it was not given a hearing in the Ways and Means Committee, is my understanding. Is that correct?
I don't know if that is correct. Representative Bennett is here. Representative Bennett, if you'd like to come to the table. And Representative Bennett, if you could answer the question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And is correct, it did not get referred to Ways and Means.
Thank you. Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Chair Bennett, for being here. Why was it not going to Ways and Means? This bill does have fiscal implications for our budget. Why would it not go to Ways and Means before it would come here and be calendared?
Thank you, Representative Jordan. Representative Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That was a decision that was made in Education Finance, that it wasn't necessary. It doesn't have it's basically almost all policy.
Thank you, Representative Bennett. Follow-up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Chair Bennett. It does have fiscal implications, though, and isn't that the job of the Ways and Means Committee to evaluate fiscal implications of bills? It seems odd to me that it wouldn't go to Ways and Means but still need a hearing in Education Finance. I think it should have gone to Ways and Means. I'm not going to make a motion. Apparently, I can only make motions related to minutes, but I didn't vote for that motion. So I think it should have gone to Ways and Means. It feels odd to be calendaring it without that stop in Ways and Means, Mr. Chair. And so I just wanted to note that that's irregular.
Thank you, Representative Jordan. Any further discussion? Representative Coulter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And forgive me if I just missed this in you stating your original motion. Is there a plan for these bills to have an amendment deadline?
None of these bills would have a Rule 3.33 deadline.
Okay. Thank you. I will just say, you know, I understand that it is your prerogative as chair and in consultation with the authors to waive that. I will just also say, as someone who worked at another legislative body in this state, that I would prefer to keep anonymous, that does not have an amendment filing deadline. Frankly, I think it kind of leads to bad policy making. I think it forces folks to make what could potentially be very big decisions on the fly in a way that I don't think leads to better outcomes. So I will just say that. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Coulter, and we will allow for Senate bashing in this committee. Lead Long.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So on House File 6, Representative Bennett, I'm just noting in the title description of the bill, it says canceling appropriations. Also in another spot says authorizing certain fund transfers for fiscal years 2025 through 2029. Those sure sound like fiscal implications to me. Is a fiscal note been completed for the bill?
Thank you, Lead Long. Representative Bennett, Chair Bennett.
Mr. Chair, thank you. And Representative Long, the fiscal components in it allow districts to opt out of some current policy for a few years to move funds around. It does not, there are no funding increases in it. Districts cannot make any decisions that would increase local funding or state funding. So this does not increase any spending. It just simply allows school boards to utilize funds and move them around within their own district in a transparent way through a school board process. So it was determined that it did not need to go to Ways and Means or the fiscal components.
Lead Long.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't see House fiscal here, but my understanding is that a fiscal note has been requested and is pending. Is that correct?
Representative Bennett?
That's correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, fiscal notes usually are requested when we need to assess the fiscal impact of a bill, and I do recall many a hearing in Rules Committee the last 2 years when we were appropriately raked over the coals when we moved a bill out of committee without a fiscal note, and we always moved the bill back to the committee when there was a fiscal note. So this at a minimum needs to go back to Education and Finance before going to Ways and Means. So we're really missing two stops here in our rush to get to the floor. And that certainly is not something that you all would have let us get away with the last 2 years, and nor was it something we would have tried. Mr. Chair, this is a pretty full agenda for a noon lunch calendar. I'm curious if the intention is to try to get through this in the noon hour.
Thank you, Lee Long. The hope is to get through it in the noon hour. There is 7:45 would be when we would come back to take up anything that hasn't been done in the noon hour.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I, given the irregularities on House File 6 moving and the fact that we're trying to squeeze all this into an hour, I'm going to ask for a roll call and ask members to oppose the calendar for Wednesday.
Thank you, Representative Long. Renewing my motion to adopt the proposed calendar for the day, roll call has been requested. The clerk will take the roll. Chair votes aye.
Vice Chair Engen?
Aye.
Lead Long?
No.
Representative Coulter?
No.
Representative Frederick?
No.
Representative Hollins?
No.
Representative Howard?
No.
Representative Jacob?
Aye.
Representative Cagle?
No.
Representative Nash?
Aye.
Representative Schultz?
Schultz, aye.
Representative Scott?
Aye.
Representative Steer?
Aye.
Representative Zalenza Carr?
Aye.
There being 8 ayes and 6 nays, the motion prevails and the calendar is adopted for March 12, 2025. Next on the agenda is the calendar for the day for March 13, 2025. We're proposing calendaring 17 bills for Thursday, March 13, 2025. House File 24, Knutson. House File 25, Zalesnikar. House File 66, Quam. House File 75, Anderson Paul. House File 81, Heintzman, House File 390, Scott, House File 845, Baker, House File 921, Cresha, House File 1060, Nash, House File 1062, Nash, House File 1382, Heintzman, House File 1445, Bliss, House File 1496, Quam, House File 1691, Kosnick, House File 1693, Kosnick, House File 1052, Bakeberg, House File 1491, Bennett. I move the adoption of the calendar for the day pursuant to Rule 1.21 and 3.33. The Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration will designate Thursday, March 13th for the adoption of the calendar for the day and establish a pre-filing requirement for amendments offered to House File 24 and House File 25. The other bills would not have pre-filing deadlines. Any discussion? Lead Long.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Last week there was a supplemental calendar scheduled for one of our days on the floor. Is the intent to also have a supplemental calendar for this Thursday?
Thank you, Lead Long. It's possible that we will, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do you anticipate, do you know how many bills are likely to be added to the supplemental calendar?
I do not have that number with me right now. Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, so we have 17 bills and then the possibility of more being added to the calendar for the day. Is the hope to get this all done in one day? I can't remember us getting through 17 bills in a day, and at least in my time in the legislature.
Lee Long, thank you for the question. It's unlikely we would take final votes on all of the bills. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. well, which of the bills are we thinking are just going to be tabled, and which of these are intended as vehicle bills for future attempted committee action?
Well, Lead Long, there are two bills that are that have a pre-filing requirement, and I think it's expected that both of those would be voted on. And I'm not sure what the plan is on the rest of them.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When will we know which bills we're going to get votes and which aren't, so we can prepare on our side?
Thank you, Lead Long. I will be in touch with you about that.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I'll ask for a roll call on the calendar for the day. I can't see how we can get through 17 bills plus more on the supplemental calendar, and I'd ask for no vote.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll just mention for the record that Mrs. Schultz has been sitting at home and wondering why in the world are we finishing session so quickly these days. So 17 bills should be no problem. We'll get it taken care of on Thursday.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Representative Schultz. I will renew my motion to adopt the calendar for the day. A roll call has been requested. The clerk will take the roll. Chair votes aye.
Vice Chair Engen?
Aye.
Lead Long?
No.
Representative Coulter?
No.
Representative Frederick?
No.
Representative Hollins?
No.
Representative Howard?
No.
Representative Jacob?
Aye.
Representative Cagle?
No.
Representative Nash?
Aye.
Representative Schultz?
Schultz, aye.
Representative Scott?
Aye.
Representative Steer?
Aye.
Representative Zelenzikar?
There being eight ayes and six nays, the motion prevails and the calendar is adopted. Please note that a pre-filing requirement has been adopted for House Files 24 and 25. The next item on our agenda is House File 550. House File 550 is before us, and I move that House File 550 be recommended to be re-referred to the General Register. Representative Torkelson is here, and you can go ahead and present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 550 is a redistricting commission bill. It would put the redistricting commission on the ballot to be voted on as a constitutional amendment.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Torkelson. I have a number of testifiers, or do you have any testimony here?
I do not have any testimony, Mr. Chair.
I have a number of folks who've signed up for testimony, and I believe you've all been asked to keep your testimony to 2 minutes. First on my list, I have Tom Wisen, and then after that, I have Paul Huffman. From the League of Women Voters, if you could come to the table and be ready to go. Mr. Wisen, you can go ahead when you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, committee. My name is Tom Wisen. I am a resident of Matamidi. Quality of our government is directly proportional to the quality of the election process we use to elect its members. The outcomes of over 90% of state elections can be predicted 2 years in advance due to gerrymandered districts. Current redistricting process is a failure, and HF 550 is just one more permanent failure in the form of a constitutional amendment. This bill has passed three committees at light speed to get here on Republican-only party-line votes with no defense from any Republican except one that compared the bill to the only other political party stain in our Constitution, Article 4, Section 9. Let's review what the authors said about this. The authors admitted that there's no remedy for when the committee cannot agree on district maps. The authors stated that with limited district restrictions on committee members, this just reflects the political process and there's no way around it. Representative West acknowledged the blatant conflict of interest in this bill, justify it by saying it's nothing new. While I respect the author's attempt and over 16 years of legislative experience with redistricting, the multiple problems with this bill demonstrates it was conceived in a partisan vacuum. This past week, I was modifying a very simple manufacturing process at a manufacturing site that has fewer employees than members of this house. I have over 30 years of experience in manufacturing engineering, and I consulted with four different people from four different disciplines to get their perspective on a relatively small problem, solution for a small problem. This bill will in part determine if over 3.5 million Minnesota voters will have fair and representative elections and will cement the process into the Constitution for decades. And the author hasn't consulted anybody on the creation of this bill. This bill in its current form is not ready for prime time, as illustrated by the author's own admissions. I've emailed the authors and all of you with alternative language to this bill, which I'd like you to consider, that addresses most of these issues. I urge you to table this bill, send it back to elections so it can continue to be worked on. And I would be happy to work with the authors or any of you in this effort. But if you're going to vote yes on this bill to support generational gerrymandering, the voters deserve an explanation of why you're voting for it. So I expect if you're going to vote yes on this, that you should explain why and explain why you're going to support the elements of this bill. I urge you to vote no on this. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Wiesen. Next, I have Paul Huffman, and after that, Anastasia Belladonna. That's going to be virtual testimony. All right. Go ahead, Mr. Huffman.
Thank you, Chair Niska and members of the committee. My name is Paul Huffman. I am the Elections and Redistricting Policy Coordinator for League of Women Voters Minnesota. League of Women Voters is a nonpartisan organization, neither supporting nor opposing candidates or political parties in local government, but always working on vital issues of concern to our members, the public, and supporting voters of Minnesota. We appreciate Representative Torkelson recognizing the importance of redistricting in the light of the upcoming census and his interest in reforming existing process. We feel the current bill recognizes the need for substantial change, and we believe this is a step in the right direction. However, at this point, we have significant concerns with the bill as it currently exists. First, the Political Redistricting Commission created by the bill consists of individuals appointed by the legislative leaders with no restriction on prior elected officials, party consultants, lobbyists, and so on. Our concern is this will result in a commission exclusively composed of representatives of the partisan political parties. The political parties are independent entities having their own interests and goals, and as such, they're very different from the voters and will not necessarily have the interests of the voters in their charter. The bill requires the commission to schedule hearings, however, does not specify the number, the manner of the hearings, locations of hearings, and areas throughout the state, ensuring that all of the people in Minnesota from various communities, from various interest groups, have the opportunity to comment. It's conceivable that in adherence with this, there could be two meetings at the Capitol on a weekday without remote access for testimony that would then meet the requirement. And we think that that doesn't serve the voters well and restricts them from participating. Finally, the proposed amendment statute are silent how to address a commission deadlock. In prior committee hearings, it was identified by the author and by testifiers that they believed that the parties could reach agreement. For 50 years, the political parties have not reached agreement on a map in Minnesota. In other states with similarly constituted political commissions, Virginia and New York being most recent, when elections are closely contested, they do not reach agreement. They reach deadlock. They defer to the courts. There is nothing in this bill that aligns on the role of the court other than the point of last refute for challenges. So to conclude, the bill as presented excludes a critical stakeholder in the redistricting process, the voters. The voters are the ones who use these to elect their representatives. It is intended that this map will represent the needs of the voters to ensure they have effective representation. The lack of robust requirements for hearings make it likely that few residents will be able to participate. There are practices in other states that I am happy to discuss with the author or any other members that would be a good example. States like Iowa, Oklahoma, Ohio, that require hearings in various locations around the state and in various times. So we look forward to working with the author and others and making this bill better going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Huffman. Next, we're going to go to Anastasia Belladonna on the Zoom, but the next two I have on my list are Mei Yang and Mary Hartnett, if you both want to come up to the table. Ms. Belladonna, if you're able to join us?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members of the committee. My name is Anastasia Belladon. I'm the executive director for Common Cause Minnesota. We're a nonpartisan grassroots organization, and while we do have a C4 arm, it is limited to lobbying activities only, so I'm able to do this with you this afternoon. We do not endorse any political parties or candidates, politicians with our C4 arm. Some of you may already know that since 2018, we've led redistricting reforms and efforts in Minnesota in partnership with a variety of different democracy partners across the state. We looked at various models prioritizing fairness, competition, and accurate representation over party interests that Paul just spoke to a little bit ago. And we engage various stakeholders, including state and local elected officials. So in a nutshell, we advocate for a process that protects the integrity of the commission's interactions, centers constituents' interests, and has checks and balances in place to minimize the partisan dynamics that Paul mentioned earlier. Some flags that we would like for you to consider is in House File 550. We've also, I have to say, that I'd like to thank Representative Torkelson, who's been amazing with his time and meeting with us. We will certainly continue to work with Representative Torkelson, Representative Cleavern, Freiber, Representative Long, anyone that really has an interest in joining our efforts. But there are some key things that I did want to share with you. I'm not going to repeat some of the ones that Paul already mentioned for purposes of time and respect to my other colleagues that are going to be speaking. But there's really a lack of independent oversight. We do believe there's a difference between an independent redistricting commission and what is being considered under House File 550. The bipartisan commission sounds promising, but it only allows for the two-party participation. And in effect, this sets up the same partisanship dynamic that Paul spoke to that has prevented our legislature from moving bipartisan maps in the past. There is that element of the risk of gridlock, and again, the commission's structure has resulted in that gridlock in the past. And from what I've seen so far, the particular language in the bill does not include a path past that gridlock currently. There's the partisan influence dynamic where appointees may feel beholden to the party or the politician that appointed them to serve on this bipartisan commission and again, move that partisan agenda. There's a lack of the public input that Paul mentioned, and it doesn't address whether or how constituents would have meaningful input in that process. And then the last thing is the transparency concerns, right? So it's unclear whether the commission will be fully transparent even within its own decision-making process with the public. So for those reasons at this time, we don't support House File 550. However, we will, as I mentioned earlier, continue to work with Representative Torkelson. Last year, Representative Cleavern moved the With Us For Us constitutional amendment bill, and I do see that in Representative Long's DE today, from what I was able to skim very quickly, I was glad to see that with just a few handful of exceptions, the bulk of our bill model process and criteria are included in that. So in conclusion, I do want to say that I do thank members of this committee, Mr. Chair, Representative Torkelson, and everyone that's really created space and time for very needed conversations around what is going to work in the state of Minnesota. We do engage our national partners when it's time to do so, but we focus our solutions here homegrown in the state of Minnesota, engaging all of the stakeholders that I just mentioned. Again, thank you so much for the time, Mr. Chair, Representative Long.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Next, May Yang.
Good evening, Chair Niska and members of the committee. My name is Mei Yang. I'm the Senior Manager of Policy and Partnerships with the Minnesota Council on Foundations. MCF is a statewide association of over 150 grantmakers in Minnesota. We're focused on ensuring that Minnesota has a strong charitable sector and an inclusive democracy. As part of this, we support state decisions and investments that will prepare Minnesota for a full 2030 census count and redistricting processes that put people first through fair representation. We're excited to see redistricting reform in Minnesota. However, we have reservations about the model outlined in House File 550. The proposed model favors political parties and not the interests of everyday Minnesotans. Additionally, there are insufficient plans for community participation and transparency. Minnesotans deserve an independent, community-focused, accessible, and transparent redistricting process, which is necessary to ensure that all Minnesotans have fair representation and influence in our democracy. We urge the committee to consider the With Us, For Us redistricting amendment to House File 4593, introduced by Representative Cleavern last session, as a model which better represents and promotes fairness and participation. MCF knows firsthand the power of community-informed redistricting and what independent commissions can produce. In the 2021 redistricting cycle, we partnered with 12 community-based organizations to form the RMAPS Minnesota Unity Cohort. Our group educated over 400 Minnesotans about redistricting and how to draw communities of interest maps, which reflected the diversity and geography of the state. These maps were then used to draw a recommended legislative and congressional map, which was submitted to the Minnesota Special Redistricting Panel. This plan kept communities of interest together, united Minnesota's northern tribes in one congressional district, and more. Most importantly, this experience demonstrated that Minnesotans not only desire to be engaged in the redistricting process, but they can, in fact, lead in it. In summary, we urge the committee to trust in the power of everyday Minnesotans and pursue an independent redistricting commission via the With Us, For Us redistricting amendment, which maximizes community input and participation. Doing so would best allow Minnesotans to have a role in ensuring district lines reflect changing community needs and interests. Thank you to the committee for your leadership in redistricting and your interest on this issue and the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, I have on the list, I have Mary Hartnett, and after her, I have Walter Fromm. If you'd like to come to the table, Ms. Hartnett, go ahead and introduce yourself and proceed. Yes.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak today. My name is Mary Hartnett. I'm the Executive Director of Clean Elections Minnesota, a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization working to build a healthy and inclusive democracy. I'd like you to reference our letter that we submitted earlier. It's about a 10-minute testimony, so I'm giving the cliff notes on that letter, so please ask for you to read that a little bit later. We commend Representative Torkelson for introducing House File 550, which proposes an amendment to the Minnesota Constitution to create a redistricting commission. However, we oppose the bill in its current form for several reasons. First, House File 550 does not create a truly independent commission. The proposed structure could be manipulated for partisan gain instead of being citizen-led and voter-centered. Second, the bill does not ensure representation for Native and minority groups or preserve their communities. The importance of including marginalized communities in the redistricting process was included by the Minnesota Appeals Court for the 2020 redistricting, their order stating preliminary conclusions, redistricting principles and requirements for plan submissions. Third, while the bill mentions public hearings, it lacks specifics about how diverse communities from across the state will be included. A successful redistricting commission requires hearing from all communities, including those that are underrepresented throughout the process. Last, there is no provision in HF 550 for a court to intervene if the commission reaches a deadlock. A clear backup plan is necessary to ensure that the redistricting process moves forward without delay or disruption to elections. We support an independent redistricting commission because elections should be decided by voters, not by politicians. We see this the partisan politics play out in other states, and we don't want that to happen here. Democracy is built on the idea that every person has a voice and that every vote should count equally. Independent redistricting commissions work. These commissions help reduce gerrymandering and restore public trust in the electoral process. The Brennan Center for Justice has identified key reforms for successful commissions, and we also urge the inclusion of compliance with federal and state Voting Rights Act. We join our colleagues of the League of Women Voters, Common Cause, the Council on Foundations, in calling for a truly independent redistricting commission. We look forward to working with you to make that happen. Thank you for your time and consideration. We urge you to amend HF 550 to reflect these guiding principles. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Finally, on my list, I have Walter Fromm. Please introduce yourself and proceed.
Yes, Chair Niska and members, my name is Walter Fromm. I'm a longtime organizer who's made over 100,000 calls, knocked on more than 20,000 doors, and talked with over 10,000 Minnesotans about participating in our democracy. I also work at Take Action Minnesota, an organization with 10,000 members committed to building a robust, multiracial, and gender-inclusive democracy where everyone's voice is heard and fairly represented. Every year, we talk to at least 20,000 Minnesotans about the issues they care about. We all know that our democracy is only as fair and effective as the rules and systems we establish to bring it alive in our everyday lives. Redistricting is one of the most important places to structurally get it right, and we appreciate the author's efforts to strengthen our process in Minnesota. However, knowing what it's like to engage Minnesotans across the state and hearing about their concerns and lives, this bill raises a few flags for us. First is partisanship. Minnesotans are tired of our politics being boiled down to Democrat versus Republican. In this time of polarization and deep economic insecurity, neighbors want systems that allow the person who best reflects their values and interests to represent them. Unfortunately, composition and membership outlined in this policy dictate partisan representation, meaning the outcome will serve parties over people. Second is principles. While I appreciate a compact district when I'm out on the doors, prioritizing that guideline over long-established practices like least change approach or considering communities of interest divides people with shared experience and connection, unfairly weakening their voice in our democracy. And lastly is engagement. Elevating diverse voices in the redistricting process is important, and it's also important that our laws provide clear expectations around number, geographic reach, and transparency. In our experience, when community engagement is not robustly directed, it falls through the cracks. And this process loses voices of everyday people's perspective. On an issue as critical to a healthy democracy as redistricting, it's essential our process has clear standards on this front, so more people are brought in. As we strive towards better redistricting process, we can create something better than this bill. We'd encourage Rep. Torkelson to work across the aisle with Rep. Long and Rep. Kelvorn to develop a consensus proposal. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. We do have one more testifier, virtually Rich True from the Forward Party of Minnesota. If you are with us, Mr. True, you can introduce yourself and proceed.
Hi, thank you, Chair Niska, and the committee members, as well as the author, for letting me address you today. My name is Rich True, like you said. I'm one of the chairs for the Forward Party of Minnesota, and I've also been a lifelong independent or unaffiliated voter if I had to choose when I lived in California. I voted in every general, primary, local, special election since I was able to vote. But at this time, we very much care about an independent redistricting committee rather than something that is partisan, whether that's bipartisan, tripartisan, quadpartisan. And with the utmost respect, I think that's where the bill is fundamentally flawed, with drafting this as a constitutional amendment. The amendment only allows for the two parties that have a specific ideology to be allowed to pick people, rather than the 40 to 60% of Minnesotans who actually identify as independent, no matter what type of independent they are. The second issue I would like to say is that it also disadvantages any alternative parties if they were in the past or in the future from having their own political influence, and that's exactly what this is, over this commission. The third is that it does not solve the impasse problem that has been talked about so many times and that I foresee this still going to the courts because there are no teeth to this bill. The fourth thing I'd like to address is that it doesn't seem to have any requirements for the persons appointed and that it still allows people with lobbying backgrounds to be a part of it. And it doesn't, for my own personal respect, take into account the considerations of regionalism or small minority groups. I understand the fear of needing to redraw these lines in 2030, but I think by making this a bipartisan issue that you will lose the people's trust on both sides. We shouldn't have to operate under such emotion, and that I will say from personal experience when I ran in my own elections up here in 3A, which is the largest, most rural district in the area, you can see exactly how areas are split off that make no sense. I know that computer programs are amazing these days, but you still need everybody's personal input from every region and not just eight people from maybe down in the metro area making these decisions. Please do not leave the rest of the voters behind that identify as independent or in the farthest corners of the district. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak today.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anyone from the public here who wasn't signed up who is here to testify? No? Well, then we'll go to amendments. Leader Long, were you going to offer the DE2?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the DE2 is the first portion of a constitutional amendment that I had authored last year, and this is a truly independent redistricting commission proposal. I think you heard from the public testifiers a number of the challenges with the underlying bill, which is in many ways the opposite approach of the DE2, which is that Representative Torkelson's approach is explicitly partisan, having partisan appointees and really very few protections on who can be appointed whereas mine takes as many pains as possible to be nonpartisan, with the goal of having the process be viewed with as much trust from the public as possible. The public doesn't trust having politicians essentially draw their own maps, which is what the proposal from Representative Torkelson would do. It would literally have the leaders of all of the caucuses picking, handpicking their people who would be responsible for drawing the maps on their behalf. And my bill also is very specific about the conflicts that can have somebody be disqualified from the commission, which include if you're a lobbyist, if you're a party leader, if you were elected in the last 10 years. So it has many more protections than the underlying bill does. And I think if this bill was before us, then we would, I would hope, have a bipartisan vote, given the instinct that we've heard from the underlying bill. So I'd ask for member support.
Thank you, Leader Long. Representative Torkelson, did you want to comment on the amendment?
Well, thank you for the amendment, Representative Long, but in truth, though, the only way this is going to happen is if we have bipartisan support for a bill, and this bill already has bipartisan support. I would suggest a no vote on the amendment.
Leader Long?
Mr. Chair, I'm not aware of any bipartisan support in the House, Representative Torkelson. When I had this bill coming through committee last time, I recall an exchange with Representative Nash where he said, you know, Representative Long, I don't like the second and third parts of your constitutional amendment, but the first part we could work together on. And so I'm hoping that this is a proposal that we can gain support. I can tell you for a fact that there is no bipartisan support in the House for your underlying bill. So I'd ask for a roll call.
Thank you, Leader Long. Roll call requested. Any further discussion on the DE? The clerk will take the roll on the DE2 amendment. The chair votes no.
Vice Chair Engen?
No.
Lead Long?
Yes.
Representative Coulter?
Aye.
Representative Frederick?
Aye.
Representative Hollins?
Aye.
Representative Howard? Representative Jacob? Representative Cagle?
Aye.
Representative Nash? Representative Schultz?
No.
Representative Scott?
No.
Representative Steer?
No.
Representative Zelazikar?
No.
There being five ayes and eight noes, the motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. Back on the discussion of the bill, any member discussion? Representative Coulter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a few things that I want to raise about this. The first thing is really more of sort of a technical aspect, but I noticed on line 1.19, this would put into the Constitution that each Senate district would consist of two House districts. And I think anytime you multiply a number by an even number, you're going to end up with an even number, right? And so that just sort of would put into our Constitution the possibility, as long as there is a two-party system, of a tie. And whatever you may think of that possibility, I would argue it is less than optimal. I'm not going to make any more judgments beyond that, but I just wanted to note that fact. I did want to ask Representative Torkelson a question that I asked in the Elections Committee, and that has been raised again here tonight. I understand and appreciate that in order for a map to be adopted, there would have to be at least one vote from each, an appointee from each caucus, in essence. So what is the remedy? What happens if there is a deadlock? What happens if they can't get to those six votes?
Thank you, Representative Coulter. I think ties are great. Go ahead, Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Coulter. At this point in time, there is no specific remedy listed in this bill. It's one of the issues that I am interested in taking more input on. My objective is to make it as put as much pressure on this commission as possible to actually reach an agreement so that the commission's map is the final map and that it does not go to the courts. The courts, you know, have done the map for the last 50 years or so, and they don't do a horrible job, but they don't do a great job either, in my opinion. They hire someone to draw a map, and they do take some public testimony, but I think a commission could do a better job.
Okay. Oh, sorry, I'm not done. I was
follow up.
Wasn't.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. So I appreciate that you're continuing to work on this, because I think as the bill is written right now, the remedy would be that, as you said, that it would go back to the courts, which would seem to me that we would really be no better off than we are right now. I would be very interested in how exactly you plan to incentivize that any more than already exists within the legislature. And the other thing that I wanted to ask about, Representative Torkelson, are the really, I would say, extremely limited exclusions for who can serve on this commission. Currently, it's only current federal, state, and local elected officials and their immediate families, and current appointed officials who are otherwise defined as public officials and their families. And you compare that to the language that is currently in the Constitution about the legislative salary, or the compensation council, I think is the proper term. None of the members of the council may be current or former legislators or the spouse of a current legislator. None of the members of the council may be current or former lobbyists registered under Minnesota law. None of the members of the council may be a current employee of the legislature. None of them may be a current or former judge. None may be a former or current or former governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, secretary of state, or state auditor. None may be a current employee or of an entity of the executive or judicial branch. I guess I'm kind of dumbfounded as to why there seems to be a larger hurdle to be responsible for setting the salary of legislators than there would be to draw the maps of who makes up the legislature. Could you just explain that a little bit?
Thank you, Representative Coulter. Go ahead, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative. This issue is one also that I am taking input on. I will say, however, that what we really want is the most qualified, most experienced people we can get on this commission. Redistricting is no simple process and never will be. So you want people that have got some experience and understand exactly what it takes to put a map together. And I don't want to have so many restrictions that we can't get the experienced people on this commission.
More follow-up? Go ahead.
Just one last thing, and I appreciate you saying that, and I do hope that language is examined as this moves forward. I will just say to me, you know, and as I said in the Elections Committee, to me the most troubling aspect of this is that lobbyists could serve on this commission. And, you know, with all due respect to lobbyists who I know are in the room, I think it is deeply, deeply problematic for folks who have, I think it's problematic enough for folks who have a political interest in this, a direct political interest being appointed to this commission, but folks who have a direct financial interest in how these maps turn out and who wins the elections as a result of this map, being in the room and drawing the maps is deeply, deeply worrying to me. So at the very least, I hope we can take a look at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Coulter. Further discussion? Leader Long, go ahead.
Okay. First off, Representative Torkelson, I'm glad you're bringing a redistricting bill forward. My freshman orientation spoke with every GOP member of my freshman class and asked them if they would co-author a redistricting bill with me, and I had no takers at the time. And at the time, I think it was because there was, you know, you always hope for the best in the next election, and everybody thinks they're going to win. So this is something I've had a long-standing interest in, and I'm very glad to see that there are GOP proposals coming forward on this. I'm curious about the process you used to put your bill together. You introduced this, I think, in 2024 as well, towards the end of session, and I'm curious if when you introduced it then or when you introduced it this time, if you reached out, had any conversations with any of the nonpartisan groups that testified today who work really closely in this space.
Thank you, Representative Long. Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Long. As you probably know, I did serve as lead on the redistricting committee and worked closely with a number of people during that process, learned a lot about the process, and this bill language is really a result of my own experience and, of course, with the help of the reviser to get a bill put together.
Thank you, Representative Torkelson. Follow-up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll take that as a no. When I put together my bill, we spent months working with national experts, local experts, nonpartisan folks who care deeply about this, trying to get it right. And I think the fact that you didn't have any testifiers in support today likely shows that you need to spend a little more time having some of these conversations with folks. The fundamental disagreement, I think, is about whether the commission should be partisan, appointed by party leaders, or nonpartisan, at least to the extent that we can achieve that. And the DE we voted down, unfortunately, had screens on who could participate. It had protections for tie votes, being that there are five folks who were unaffiliated as a part of the 15-member commission, random selection, so you're not picking people specifically who you would then want to see act on your behalf. So a lot of protections to make sure that this is a fair process. Are you open to working towards a nonpartisan approach?
Thank you, Representative Long. Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Long. I'll just say this, you know, this bill, I will admit, is a work in progress. I will say, however, that this process of redistricting is political by nature. Politics can't help but be involved in this process. It's impossible to have a completely non-political group of people that actually understand what districts are and why we need them and why they need to be drawn as fairly as possible. So to eliminate people with political interest, to my mind, really condemns the process from the beginning. You need people that understand politics and understand the political nature of redistricting in order for this to be successful.
Thank you, Representative Torkelson. Follow up.
Well, Representative Torkelson, that's not the way redistricting has been done in our state for 50 years. We've had redistricting done by judges who have been trying very hard to act in a nonpartisan basis and have been selected on that basis. So I don't think that is accurate. But I will say that you're right that it is hard to find an individual without a partisan identity. And I think that the proposal that I had that was voted down has people self-select, and then you'd have five. But importantly, you'd have five who were independent, who could help balance out that commission and make sure that we were coming to a fair nonpartisan resolution. And there would be a lot of protections in terms of who is selected, rather than this, which is as purely partisan as it gets, right? I mean, you literally have the party leaders picking the individuals themselves. So they, you know, we could pick Ken Martin, right? You all could pick Royce White. We could pick whomever you decide is the most partisan advocate for your cause to be on the commission. And that to me seems like a recipe for deadlock and for just getting to the same place we are now. So I guess my question for you would be, is this the only model that you view as workable? Or are you open to looking at other ways to have more nonpartisan approaches?
Thank you, Representative Long. Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Long. I just find it so interesting that you put Ken Martin and Royce White on the same plane. I'm not sure how to take that, in any case, I what I said earlier stands, although as I've said all along, this bill is not in its final form, and I'm always willing to listen to other ideas.
Representative Long.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this is its third committee stop, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. This is the first time you and I have had a conversation about the bill. I don't know if you've talked to Representative Cleaver, and we both had proposals last session. I'm curious, who among House Democrats have you worked with to get to this stage?
Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you. There was a period of time when there were no House Democrats to work with, so it's very difficult.
Representative Torkelson, we've been through three committee stops, so presumably you've had enough time to reach out. If this is truly a bipartisan effort that you have in mind, have you had any conversations that you have initiated with Democrats to try to improve this bill?
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Long. My door is open and my calendar is available. I've stated many times I'm willing to listen to people who are interested in this issue. You can get on my calendar, Representative Long.
Follow-up.
Representative Torkelson, with respect, this is not my bill. This is yours, and it's the burden's on you to try to find bipartisan support for your bill. I'm very happy to have a conversation. I haven't heard much of an open mind yet to trying to find an approach that is nonpartisan and that could gather broader support. So you have said that this is a work in progress, which I appreciate. Given that this is its final committee stop, where will that work happen? Are we planning to lay this bill over? Are we going to be moving this bill to General Register? And if we do, are you trying to get a vote on this week, perhaps?
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Long. I'm not sure about the future.
Follow-up.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'd just ask that the bill be laid over then, given that Representative Torkelson has expressed a willingness to do more work on this. I would very much like to take him up on that. And so I'd certainly ask that if this is a true bipartisan bill that Representative Torkelson is after, that we keep the bill in committee so we can do that work. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Got a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move that the bill be laid over.
Representative Long moves that that House File 550 is laid over. All in favor say aye.
I request a roll call, Mr. Chair.
Roll call requested on the motion to lay House File 550 over. The clerk will take the roll. Chair votes no.
Vice Chair Engen?
No.
Lead Long?
Yes.
Representative Coulter?
Aye.
Representative Frederick?
Aye.
Representative Hollins?
Aye.
Representative Howard?
Aye.
Jacob?
No.
Representative Cagle?
Aye.
Representative Nash?
No.
Representative Schultz?
No.
Representative Scott?
No.
Representative Steer?
No.
Representative Zelenzikar?
There being six ayes and eight nays, the motion does not prevail. Vice Chair Engen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Torkelson. I think you actually have made an effort to make this bipartisan, despite what Representative Long said. He said it was purely as partisan as it gets, and he wondered if we had worked with any nonpartisan groups that came up to testify against your bill today. I did a little bit of research on some of those nonpartisan groups. I'm using air quotes because it's not true. The Clean Elections Minnesota organization, their lead researcher is listed on their website, Chelsea Johnson, and she states that she's a specialist in race, gender, and social justice with intersectional feminism. Partners included on their website include Fair Vote, the leading organization behind the ranked choice voting efforts, with Common Cause 50, Common Cause, who's celebrating 50 years of democracy, the chair of their national organization, supposedly nonpartisan, mind you, Martha Tierney, she's the Colorado Democrat Party General Counsel. And so I would assert that while we're trying to actually have a bipartisan redistricting commission that's looking at these maps and making sure that they're fair, we also recognize that there's no such thing as nonpartisan, especially if you're a group like this who's claiming to be. So before we go around leveling those types of accusations, I would take a long, hard look in the mirror. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair Engen. Leader Long.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, nonpartisan is a tax status. These are all C3 organizations, and so to accuse them of being partisan would be accuse them of violating tax law, and I presume that's not what you're doing in this meeting. These groups are all organizations that have worked really hard on trying to come up with a nonpartisan redistricting commission for many years, and their goal is to try to make it as insulated as possible from politics, which is the exact opposite of it seems like what you are alleging. And so I would just hope that we not besmirch the fine folks who've spent years coming up to the legislature to testify on behalf of the bill that apparently you all are going to vote on today. Mr. Chair, is the goal to move this to the general register? And if so, is the goal to have this bill be voted on the floor on Thursday?
Thank you, Leader Long. The motion is to put it on the general register. Obviously, then to calendar it would require some other action by this committee. Representative Torkelson, any closing comments?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would like to make some closing comments. First, you know, I've been working with this issue for some time. Most of my time here at the legislature, I've been through two cycles myself. I have a new residence as a result of redistricting. I know how impactful it can be on individual legislators and on their constituents. The process of drawing districts has changed, and it continues to change as computer software becomes more and more sophisticated. The need for a redistricting commission is obvious, and I would hope that we can find a path forward for this effort to make it so. We should all be very frightened of a trifecta. Should we have a trifecta at the time of the redistricting cycle, one party would rule the day, whichever party that would be, and we would surely at that point end up with extremely partisan districts. So that alone should motivate all of us to think about how important redistricting is. I will also mention that we were very, very close to losing a congressional seat in this last election, and we will almost surely lose one in the next cycle. We have eight now, divided 4-4, but should we go to seven, this redistricting process for congressional districts will be extremely controversial and under a microscope. And I think the best way to address that is through a redistricting commission. I did mention this bill has bipartisan support, not because it has, at this point, bipartisan support in the House, but it does have a Senate author from the DFL party. So this is the first realistic effort at reaching an agreement on a bipartisan, on a redistricting commission. I think we need to all buckle in, those of us that are interested, and work hard to make it the best process possible. But to try and claim that somehow we can make this effort non-political, just to me, just doesn't make sense. It directly affects the political process. It directly affects all of us that are involved in politics. And it takes people that understand the political scene in Minnesota in order to actually evaluate and establish a fair redistricting commission map. The fact that it's evenly divided assures us that there will be a certain amount of give and take in order to reach an agreement, and that give and take is what actually makes a map even and balanced, and I would hope that we understand the need for this redistricting commission and move this work forward. Thank you for hearing this bill today, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Torkelson. I renew my motion that House File 550 be re-referred to the general register.
Ask for a roll call, Mr. Chair.
Has been requested. The clerk will take the roll on the motion. Chair votes aye.
Vice Chair Engen?
Aye.
Lead Long?
No.
Representative Coulter?
No.
Representative Frederick?
No.
Representative Hollins?
No.
Representative Howard?
No.
Representative Jacob?
Yes.
Representative Cagle?
No.
Representative Nash?
Aye.
Representative Schultz?
Aye.
Representative Scott?
Yep.
Representative Steer?
Aye.
Representative Zelezikar?
There being eight ayes and six nays, the motion prevails. House File 550 is re-referred to the general register. That concludes our agenda for today. The meeting is adjourned.